One day in the CCD class, the teacher was teaching about the book of Genesis. And the teacher asked the kids, what was the name of the first man? And the little kid said, I know, it's Adam. And the teacher said, that's right. And then the teacher said, and what's the name of the first woman? And nobody could come up with the answer. And so she tried to give some hints by saying, well, just think of an apple. And one little boy said, I know, it was Granny Smith. Actually, the name of the first woman was Eve, and Mary is the new Eve. As St. Paul tells us, that Jesus is the new Adam, the second Adam. When we look at the Old Testament, we see the first Adam and Eve sinned through pride and their disobedience, and this led to death. So the new Adam, Christ and the new Eve, they were humble. Jesus and Mary were humble, and their obedience brought about grace and life, eternal life for each of us. So Christ is the new Adam. In the Old Testament, as you know, Adam was created first, and then Eve came forth from Adam, and that didn't work so well. So the second time in the New Testament, God decided to do it differently. He created Mary, the new Eve, and then Jesus came forth from her. Jesus, the Son of God, the new Adam. And just as the second Adam, Christ, is far greater than the first Adam, so Mary, the new Eve, must be far greater than the first Eve. And we know that the first Adam and Eve were created without sin originally, as you know. Therefore, the new Eve, Mary, must also be created without sin if she's to be greater than the first Eve. And this is what we're celebrating today, the feast day of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother. And this means that due to a singular grace of God, that our Blessed Mother was preserved from being tainted by the least stain of original sin due to the foreseen merits of Christ applied to her by anticipation. So Mary is not outside of the saving work of Christ. She's a recipient of the saving work of Christ. That's why she could sing in her Magnificat, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. See, sometimes people outside the church say, well, that proves that Mary sinned because she called God her Savior. See, there's two ways to be saved by God. One is after the fact, and one is before the fact. See, we're saved after the fact by our baptism, by going to confession, by receiving the sacraments. We receive the grace of God after the fact. See, we're born into this world with original sin. Mary, on the other hand, was saved by the grace of God before the fact, by anticipation. The analogy I'd like to use, if somebody is drowning in quicksand and you pull them out, you save them after they fell into quicksand. If you caught somebody before they fell into quicksand, you still save them, but before they fell into quicksand. Our Lady was saved before she was allowed to be fallen into the quicksand of original sin. So God caught her, in a sense, preserved her from being tainted by the least stain of original sin. So she is redeemed by Christ, redeemed by Christ most perfectly. She is a recipient of the saving work of Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ did through his passion, death, and resurrection was applied to our Blessed Mother at her conception. Mary's parents were St. Anne and Joachim. They conceived Our Lady in the normal way, but God intervened at the moment of her conception and did not allow original sin to taint her soul when she was created at the first moment of her conception. We can say that Our Lady, in a sense, was inoculated or vaccinated from original sin. She was never allowed to be tainted by original sin. Some of the saints and fathers of the church, in a sense, have called this Mary's baptism. The only difference is that when we're baptized, original sin is washed away and removed, Our Lady was preserved from being tainted, even for a second, from the least stain of original sin. Now, of course, when we're baptized, original sin is taken away, but we still have the effects of original sin. We still have a darkened intellect, a weakened will, and concupiscence. Our Blessed Mother, though, because she was vaccinated or inoculated from original sin, means that she had no original sin nor any of the effects of original sin. So Our Lady never had a darkened intellect, a weakened will, or concupiscence. Our Lady was preserved from original sin and the effects of original sin. Well, why did God do this for our Blessed Mother? One simple reason: she was to become the Mother of God. The Immaculate Conception is the precursor to her being the mother of the Son of God. That God knew he would send his Son one day to be born in the womb of our Blessed Mother. And God wanted a pure vessel, a holy vessel through which he would enter this world. See, God wanted a pure woman to give birth to his Son, and that was our Blessed Mother. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Logically, common sense says that if you went to somebody's home for dinner, they wouldn't serve you good food on a dirty plate or a good drink in a dirty glass. Nor would God serve us his Son, give us his Son into this world through a impure vessel or a dirty vessel. That God wanted this woman to be immaculate, immaculately conceived. And she would be this beautiful channel through which God would enter our world. And it certainly makes sense that God would do this for us, because he loved his Son so much that he wanted her, his mother, to be the most perfect mother and woman imaginable. See, all of us are born after our mothers, obviously, but God could create his own mother. And because God could create his mother any way he wanted, wouldn't he make her the most holy, the most pure, the most sacred, the most beautiful mother and woman imaginable? And when we explain this to our brothers and sisters of other denominations, how do you explain it to them? Well, a couple passages you could point to. The first reading today, the book of Genesis, where God told Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall crush thy head. So who is the one who's going to crush the head of the serpent? Obviously, it is Jesus who crushes the head of the serpent. Who is the woman that gave birth to Jesus that would have enmity with the devil? Now, of course, that is Our Lady. See, enmity means total separation. They were totally opposed. And this indicates, it hints at the Immaculate Conception, because not even for an instant did Mary come under Satan's power or dominion. She had total enmity with the devil, complete separation, and that would indicate never having any sin. And then, of course, I think the best passage is today's gospel. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. The words full of grace in the New Testament Greek is an incredible word. It's only used once in the entire Bible. It is kacheritomene, which is the perfect passive participle of that verb, which means it's a completed act done to perfection. So the angel Gabriel really said to Our Lady, Hail, you who have been perfected in grace. You who have been totally transformed, totally perfected in grace by Almighty God. And that, of course, would indicate the Immaculate Conception, a completed act perfectly done in Our Lady's life. So today I would recommend different ways to honor our Blessed Mother and her Immaculate Conception. In fact, this is the patronal feast day of our country. North America, South America, and Central America is dedicated and consecrated to Our Lady under the title of the Immaculate Conception. So it is our feast day of our country. I'd recommend sometime, hopefully before Christmas, go down to the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, this magnificent basilica named after our Blessed Mother, the patroness of the Americas, and try to visit those beautiful chapels throughout the shrine. I'd also recommend doing more for the pro-life cause, for the pro-life movement. We should all be doing more for pro-life, to save the unborn babies. Because if Our Lady's life began at conception, which the Church clearly teaches it does, because we're celebrating her Immaculate Conception today, when her life began, so your life and my life began at conception, and every baby's life begins at conception. So we as a Church respect and defend all human life from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death. So we should be doing more for the pro-life cause, maybe helping out Birthright or helping out AAA Women for Choice in Manassas and these other wonderful pro-life groups that save the lives of babies every single day. I would also suggest that we, in honor of the Immaculate Conception, wear the miraculous medal around our neck, and we give them out every Friday morning at daily Mass, and often say that prayer, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. A very powerful prayer. And then join one of Our Lady's special groups. We have many groups in the parish dedicated to Our Blessed Mother. Legion of Mary as an active or auxiliary member. The Knights of Columbus, especially devoted to Our Lady. And then consecrate yourself to Our Blessed Mother and trust yourself to Our Lady. In fact, after Mass today, we have 50 or 60 people that have been preparing for the last 33 days, according to the De Montfort consecration, to consecrate themselves to Jesus through Mary. So we always go to Jesus with Mary and through Mary, because it is the most perfect way to go to Jesus. Jesus came to us through Mary, and how could we come up with a better plan to go back to Jesus than through the way that he established?